we get to intelligence. The smart guys. Charles Walshine, Walshine Legal, one of the best housing attorneys in the country. And, of course, entrepreneur, businessman aficionado, Mr. Stephen Schwartz, as we bring some common sense to the argument here on a Tuesday, and we say a very good morning, and I hope both of you have battened down your hatches as we get ready for Asayas. Stephen Schwartz and Charles Walshine.
Good morning, Jay. We're ready to go, man. We got the pail and shovel ready to go. We're all set.
All right.
For the storm.
All right. I'm glad to hear. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, guys. So, you know, we're still waiting for the stimulus package to get going here. I guess if you break it down, the sticking point, Steve, is the $600, you know, the bump, the federal government unemployment benefits. Dems say, you know what, continue it through January. Republicans say, oh, hold on a minute here. I'm not so sure. Maybe we could slice it down a little bit. I mean, listen, it is a big conversation right now. How are you feeling on this? If this is the sticking point, sir, which way would you go? Would you allow the continuance of what is happening here?
I would. I really would. I think a lot of people are really depending on this. And I think that, like I said, I think we're going to be getting a very bad second wave of what's about to happen. And I think that through no fault of anybody, everybody's in a really, really bad spot here. So I make a very simple point, is that the government owes it to live up to their word.
They have lived up to their word. They basically gave you benefits all through the end of July. And the fact of the matter is, you know, listen, is it right, Charles Walshine, to have people sit on the sideline and make more money as if they were actually at work? I mean, what happens to the employer? He is hanging on to dear life right now and knows he can never get those individuals back. Therefore, he's got a decision to make. Remain closed or open, and maybe just close permanently because they're never going to get people to work for him again. I mean, what's your take? The extra 600, or you want to slice it? Where are you at with this?
Well, you know, every day I go to work, and every day I see that my parking lot is just as empty as it was the day before. There's probably 750 spots, and there's maybe 150 cars. That's got to tell you something. People are staying home because they're either working from home or they're not working. I've kept my office open. It's just me and one other person in there. So as far as safety goes, that we're doing the best we can, wearing masks, all the rest of the stuff. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of people I know that are not ill, and they're not going back to work by choice because they're making $600 doing nothing, which is sometimes just as much as they made when they went to work. So that $600 pre-tax, you know, or even that's really after-tax money, is something like making almost like $900-something, $45,000 a year. There's really very little incentive for anybody to get out of bed and go to work and put themselves in danger, or just to go to work instead of sitting at the beach collecting $600. So at the end of the day, there's that side, which is why they want to reduce it to $200. So it's like, I agree with Steve. You got to live up to your word. You got to keep things going. But there's really no way to segregate the people who can work and do have a job to go to, or could have a job to go to, and the people who do not have a job to go to. There's no way to figure that out.
So you're with Steve on that. Steve says he wants it to continue. Steve, I'll give you the final word. I'll just say this. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are going to end up shuttering for good. They're never going to get people to get back to work because why should they? They are sitting around collecting a nice little paycheck. If you make $182, add an extra $600 to that, you're getting $782 a week. Folks, do the math, over $3,000 a month. Why would anybody work in Joe's Diner on East Main Street in Riverhead? Why would they go back? Why would they go back? I'll give you a final word on that.
Well, you know what? Most people want to go back to work. Most people want their life back. It's not only the $600 that you're giving them. I mean, everyone's life has been completely erupted. there is no normalcy. I mean, yes, from an economic standpoint, there are some people that have that predicament. But there are other people that really would rather not have the check and would rather have their life back. So it's, you know, Charlie said it right. You're not going to be able to segregate and say, okay, the guy at Joe's Diner is really benefiting from it, but there's 20 other people that really need this money to support their kids and their family during this horrible, horrible time in American history. So I say the government does owe it to their people, to us, you know, to live up to what they said they were going to do.
Jay, if they cut that money, it's going to be a disaster. And the other thing that they have to do while you're on the topic is they really have to keep the moratorium on evictions going. And they're going to have to give some relief to people that have mortgages for multifamily buildings, because they're going to start really getting hammered here. I don't care how much COVID relief there is in terms of money. The entire economic structure of the country is going to start to fall apart once you start stopping the cash flow from the consumer to the entity that ultimately collects money in the form of interest from loans and keeping the businesses going. You're gonna have a big problem here. It's not the kind of thing you see right away. You see it 6 months, 10 months, 15 months, and Stevie knows about this. If the consumer isn't getting it, they can't pay their bill, and the business can only float their debt for so long before the bank feels it. We're heading for a brick wall here at 1,000 miles an hour. No one's talking about it.
And certainly I agree with extending the moratorium regarding renters, but, you know, to me, I don't have a problem going from 600 to 200. At least create a sense of urgency for one to at least try and get back to work. And that's to help some of these businesses stay afloat. Right now they can't. Nobody wants to work. And why should they? They're making a ton more money by sitting on the sideline than if they were actually in their place of employment. So to me, at least negotiate, split it down the middle, go to 250, and everybody goes home semi-happy here. But at least you get a sense of urgency for those folks to get back into that line of employment again. Right now, it's a disaster. So I'll kind of stay with that situation. Now, let's move into topic two, and that is these presidential debates. We're supposed to have one coming up end of September. Who knows? Democrats want to scrap this year's debates, and it's not hard to guess why. Charles Walshine, what's your take on things?
8 weeks ago, I said, lock him in the basement, shut off the lights, remove the fuse panel, do not let him anywhere near a camera or a microphone, because all that can happen is that they screw it up. There's no upside to him saying that, even going out in public. Keep him in the basement. Show pictures of him smiling, speeches from 10 years ago. That'll fix the election. The minute you let this guy in a room with Donald Trump, Donald Trump's going to chew him up, even if it's just a complete show, right? Because that's what it's going to be. Just keep the two of these guys apart. Make up an excuse. There's no electricity. The helicopter broke down. The microphone fell off the stand. You know, that. So say something, but do not let them talk to each other.
Steve, you know, before last month, Biden went, I think it was 90 days straight without a press conference. Interesting tweet from Senator Ted Cruz dubbing Democrats, scrap the debates, push basement strategy part two. What do you think on this?
No debate for Biden. I mean, if Biden has any chance at all winning, I totally agree with Charlie. I would even go to more extreme. I might handcuff him to the radiator and have security all around him. And I think Charlie was going really easy on this. I'm all with Charlie on this. We cannot have this guy anywhere near a camera. And I got news for you. I got more confidence in Trump with some really dirty tricks coming up. I mean, Trump has got a playbook on how to hang on. So I think that Biden does need to do something. And Biden needs to do what I suggested, because who would have ever thought Trump would be our president at the time when Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary, and he got, you know, totally conned out of that election to become the Democratic leader. I said that at the time Trump should take Bernie. What a ticket that would have been. Trump, Bernie Sanders, let's make America great again, right? I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say Biden might need to pull the Schwartzy magic. And here's the Schwartzy magic. The country needs to come together. Cats and dogs need to get along. People have got to have to feel like we're moving in the right direction. Because I got news for you. Biden is not a slam dunk to win this election, even if he was to be handcuffed to a radiator. So I think that what he should do is he should bypass picking the Democratic, politically correct vice president and go with a Republican. Yes, a Republican vice president. Somebody who is seasoned, somebody who will balance the ticket, and people will sit there and say, wow, he does want to unite us all as one. And that person would be Mitt Romney. So I see a Biden-Romney ticket on a landslide victory if you really want to get rid of Trump. Because most people just want Trump out. They've had enough. It's done. If you look at what he did this weekend, he was a total embarrassment. He's out there. He has no plan for this COVID-19. He's out there golfing. The guy is, you know, right when you think it gets worse, it just gets even worse. You know, it just keeps getting, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm watching a Met game, and then I turn to CNN, and he's out there golfing. I mean, it worked. COVID-19, there's a problem. Instead of sitting there, now he's gone against his doctors. Dr. Birx, Fauci's no good. Birx is a joke. Listen, he's a joke. Biden needs to get smart and win this election.
Romney will never do it.
Charles, a Biden-Romney ticket. You know, listen, you know, that's not a bad thought process. It's not as crazy. It's not as crazy as one might think. I mean, listen, we know it'll never happen, but it's not nuts. You know, listen, if you want to level the playing field and bring a little, you know, I don't know, smart guy type sense back to the mix, you could think that way. No,
you know, everybody's got in the back of their head that, you know, that Joe Biden and he's a very respected guy in the Senate. And he's a real career politician, as much as they like him. And I happen to like him. I've always liked him. Everyone says, you know, he's a little long in the tooth. He's up there in the years, and he may not. Everyone's got it in the back of their head, and as much as I hate to say it, that he might not make 4 years, even if we elect him. So right now, it's not like when you elected Barack Obama, he's a young guy, you're thinking two terms for the guy. I don't know about two terms for Biden. I don't even know about one term for Biden. And it's a horrible thing to say, but it's in the back of everybody's mind. You can't deny that. So his vice presidential pick, the importance of that is amplified immensely. But first of all, I would love to see Romney as president. Love to see Romney as president.
Listen.
Compared to what we have now. No, he's a common sense guy. And I don't think he's beholden to anybody ideologically. And by the way, while we're talking about Trump, I would take 1,000 Donald Trumps before one Ted Cruz. Just because of
Without question.
Well, you don't have to listen to this. You don't have to listen to this, you know, religious nonsense, you know, with stem cell nonsense, and it's, you know, immoral. Come on. We're not in the dark ages, but that's what was going on with Bush. That's why I didn't like what was going on there. At least we don't have that now. Imagine all of that, and we had religious ideology on top as the icing on the cake with us. Forget about it.
All right, listen, I agree. Cruz, right now it's pick your poison, okay? Pick your poison. There's not a lot of choice right now. There's not a lot of choice regarding the president and how he's handling things. And then, of course, you know, you have Joe Biden. So, you know, I don't know. And that's why the VP pick will be extremely important coming up within the week or so. All right, let's move to TikTok. President stating the widely popular Steve Schwartz TikTok app will be out of business in this country if it doesn't reach a deal to sell its American operations by next month, and that the U.S. government should get a cut of the deal. I thought it was brilliant. I'm sorry, I really did. Listen, we know it's Beijing-based. Already you kind of set the tone there, the relationship with China and the U.S. But there's a lot more that goes into this as far as everything else is concerned. Lots of moving parts regarding this TikTok operation. The clock is certainly on TikTok right now. And Beijing, what's your take on this?
Well, I have a all Trump once again does is disrupt my household. My 13-year-old daughter is out of her mind over this. She and her friends love TikTok. It's their choice of life right now. If it wasn't for TikTok, I'm telling you, 13 to 15-year-olds to 20-year-olds in this country would be losing their mind. So once again, Trump doesn't have the temperature on this just from the greatness of what TikTok is. I don't understand TikTok for the life of me. But obviously, my daughter and her friends are loving TikTok. Now, from the side of what kind of sign does this show going forward to our relations, overseas and how this is all going? Again, I think that there's so much more that we don't know. And that's the scary part, Jay. You know, we want to sit there and discuss TikTok, you know, and how this is going to affect things. In all honesty, you know, this could be the TikTok World War III. I mean, they could actually sit there and say, well, in the history books, a zillion years from now, that it was World War III was not really due to coronavirus. It was due to TikTok. All right, now the nation's had enough. TikTok is out. All right, now we've had enough. It's really coronavirus, which isn't a virus, like I told you, is a radioactive manufactured delivery service from our friends abroad. This is going to be an incredible, incredible history lesson 100 years from now that World War III was brought on by TikTok.
Listen, this came from a bat, okay? I will never watch a Bela Lugosi movie again. Okay, I'm going to tell you that much. This thing came from a bat. But I got to tell you something, Charles. You know, the president, he's got an axe to grind. Listen, no one brought it up. I brought it up this morning. June 20th rally in Tulsa and an empty arena there. Guess what? Courtesy of TikTok, right? Pranking the president, the seats being sold, and everything else. Listen, there is an axe to grind here. Beijing-based, especially when it comes to relationships right now between these two powers. So you put everything in that salad bowl and the president. I thought, listen, I think he's got a stance here, and he's got demands, and guess what? The clock is ticking right now on you know what.
I don't even know what TikTok is. The only reason I know about it is because people are talking about it, but I have not. My kids are a little bit older. They don't TikTok. Schwartz's kid is his daughter's 13 years old, adorable. I'm sure her and her friends lose their minds over it. I don't even know what it is. So to me, it's a tempest in a teapot. They want to make a deal, they make a deal. I personally could care less. I know I cannot add my opinion to this whatsoever. Sorry.
Well, Shine takes a rare pass, and remember, he's only allotted one pass throughout the year, so he has just used his.
I'm taking it right now.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the.
But this is my pass.
Listen, we got the bronze turdy we're going to give out in a couple of minutes. We'll tell you right then and there exactly what went on there. Let's head to the schools. Governor Cuomo will be making a decision. Schools submitting their final plans by Friday. We've had incidents around the country where schools have opened up, where it has become a COVID-related news story, unfortunately, and that's why you have to be very methodical in your approach, Steve Schwartz. Opening up schools, New York regions, and everything else, look at the numbers. Are you sending your kid to school with a mask if it is required, sir?
Yes, I will. I will send my kid to school because I have to believe in the system. I have to believe in what's going on. I actually have a lot of confidence in my school district, and I'm in a smaller school district, so it's unfair. Now, if I was in the city, in Manhattan or Brooklyn or Queens, where the population of schools is much higher and there's a lot of more moving parts, I wouldn't be sending my kids to school. I really wouldn't. At least until they prove to me that they have this under control and that they know what's going on. I said this, we talked about it last week. I said everything has got to be on a local situation. It's almost school for school, neighborhood for neighborhood, and people are going to have to be their own leader. I said this last week. I think that what you just said proves me out perfectly, where people are going to have to become their own governors and mayors, because you cannot make a broad stroke assessment of this and say, okay, this is for everybody. No, because every single neighborhood in our beautiful city, in our beautiful Long Island, Westchester, Jersey, they have got to make individual decisions. Have to. Individual, localized decisions within your school board, within the people that you're dealing with, and most importantly, with Mr. and Mrs. Front Porch, mom and dad, who are going to sit there and say, all right, let's talk about this. Let's see what it is. It's going to be an individual decision. This coronavirus is coming back with a vengeance.
Oh. All right. We know we're getting a second wave, most likely. And plus, you know, you got flu season and everything else. Charles, what do you think? You're sending your kid to school? If the requirement is wearing a mask, does the constitutionality of things come into play in your mindset?
Oh, God. So please don't. No. I know what you're doing. You're trying to get me worked up, and it's been sort of working. Constitutionality of wearing a mask. Really? Really? What civil right is being violated? Please tell me. What that your grandmother, your grandfather that you're going to see, or somebody who's vulnerable in your circle of friends, really, that they don't get sick and die? Is that the thing that's happening here? Yeah, my kid's going to go to school, and he's going to wear a mask, and he's going to distance, and they're going to do the right thing. And you know what they're going to have to do also? They're going to have to figure out how to trace and test, which is two things that are not being done. You know, I have probably the smartest person that I know. She's a friend of mine's wife, and he's no dummy either. He went to Harvard. She has 2 degrees from MIT. And right at the beginning of this thing, she said to me, we were talking about, like, you know, what was going to happen. This is like in March, beginning of March, when this thing was just starting. She said, you know, Americans are pigheaded, and they think that anything the government tells them to do is got to be somehow bad or infringes on a civil liberty. There's a certain, you know, this is ridiculous. You tell kids to wear masks. You also have to trace and you have to test. You know, I went to my barber the other day, and he took my temperature, asked me a bunch of questions, and then he said, write your name in the book and your phone number. And he goes, if you get sick, please call me. What? Okay, can we do that? So how about starting there? My barber, my 78-year-old Italian barber from Palermo, Sicily, has the sense to have people writing their names down in a book. Can we start there, please?
So contact tracing is all about
the Constitution. This is nonsense. You look at Europe.
Listen,
Europe doesn't have a problem because they're more compliant psychologically to following the rules and doing what's good for, as a society. And the crazy
all right, listen.
People in this country.
Yeah, I got one.
Infected. Go ahead.
Listen, I hear you. I got one more before we take a quick break. I want to get it in quick, so you got about 30 seconds each. Seattle Storm, New York Liberty. Okay, WNBA, Charles, you're going to love this one. National anthem, we think, guess what? They walk off the court, both teams. What's going on here, guys? You know, listen, I've been lenient. You want to kneel? It's an expression. I'll go with it. All that's happened, I can understand it. Okay, I'm going to be lenient. But you can't walk off the court. Shame on the WNBA. Shame on the commissioner of the league. Shame on all affiliated with that league. Charles, go ahead.
No, I'm asking you. Why is that under your skin?
Why? Because I don't have a problem with the kneeling. I don't have a problem, you know, with any holding hands. One kneels, one stands, arms on the shoulder. Listen, don't walk off the court. That is complete disrespect. And listen, I think right now it's about nuances and innovations and trying to find new ways
to
express. Okay, what's next? I mean, what is next? Okay, what's next?
I'm going to ask a question. It's beyond disrespectful. I'm going to read to you something right now. Okay, this is who the sponsors are for the NBA. First of all, AT&T is their marquee partner. Got Adidas, American Express, Beats, Budweiser, EA Sports, ExxonMobil. There's a small company for you. Okay, Gatorade, Google, Jack Daniels. There's a brand. Okay, Kia. Do I have to go on? Nike, State Farm, Spalding. You know, do you get it? So, like, the best thing that they can come up with, really, is walking off the court. And by the way, I also want to tell you what this what eclipsed this is John Lewis was being buried, and they were marching him across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, which, by the way, is named after a Klansman and Civil War general, a vapid racist. Okay, he is being marched across in a horse-drawn carriage with what draped over his casket? The American flag. And at the same time, this league, and by the way, you know it's not the girls, right? You know it's not the ladies making this decision. There's probably some, you know, Madison Avenue advertising weenie who asked the executives at every single one of those companies, do you think it's okay if we do this? Are you going to pull your advertising? Is it okay for your brand to do this? And it was like, this is the best that they could do. And they said Breonna Taylor, right? Breonna Taylor, EMT, with a no-knock warrant, who was killed in her house, and basically almost for 2 months nothing happened to the police in the city.
Steve, give me 30 seconds on this. What's he? 30 seconds. Go ahead on the WNBA, and then what happened?
Charlie, you're brilliant because that's a brilliant assessment. Actually, the only thing I'm going to add is that this was an orchestrated. This is like a bad off-Broadway show. That was like, how do we grab the headline? How do we get the smart guys to talk about this today? Oh, I got a great idea. If we walk off the court, that's never been done before. Oh, I like it. Let me call up my sponsor. Follow the money. Oh, the money. It's all about the money. So the advertiser said, okay. And then I guarantee you, they just said, let's go for it. Let's do it, girl. Girls, like Charlie said, did not make the decision. No way.
All right, guys, listen, we're against the clock, so I'm going to keep it right here. Amanda Carey, throw me a drum roll if you don't mind, please. Ladies and gentlemen, those who have stepped in it, we give out a very special award. It's called the Turdy. We make it bronze, and for good reason. And we have co-winners this week, gentlemen. The winner, by popular demand of 4,400-plus votes, Jay Schneiderman, the supervisor of the town of Southampton. I believe I piggybacked Mr. Walshein on this, allowing the special VIP area to be formulated after the supervisor had left the venue after, I guess, having his fun playing the drums on the stage with the chain smokers. Bad job, Jay. Bad job. By the way, he canceled his appearance on this program. Investigations ongoing, but congratulations to myself and Mr. Walshein, recipient of Jay Schneiderman as our pick for that special Turdy Award. Now, Mr. Schwartz, you're nominated for the upcoming week, sir.
Well, first, let me congratulate both of you. That was well done. I am going to go really out on a limb this week. I mean, really. I mean, this is going to be like a tremendous pick. This is probably somebody I don't even know if you ever heard of. His name is Donald J. Trump. This is the most obvious pick ever I could ever make. I don't even know where to start. It's A to Z, all the way, 24/7. Everything out of his mouth is putting it. He just steps right in it. But there was nothing better than watching him flopping around that golf course while the nation is in total crisis. He is my pick. It is the obvious Donald J. Trump, Turdy of the week.
Schwartzy pick, Mr. Walshein, your pick, my friend.
You know, unfortunately, I don't know the person's name, but I'm going to describe him. It is the Madison Avenue Pucks. That's what we call MAP, Madison Avenue Pucks. So it's going to be him, the guy who thought up this walk-off for the WNBA. So I don't know who he is. I don't know where he is. I don't know what company he works for.
I need a name.
Yeah, you got to get a name here, Charles, or you disqualify.
Mr. Madison Avenue Pucks. That's his name, okay? This is what's wrong. This is the media. This is the media working on our heads right now. It's nonsense. So
okay.
My guy is Matt, Mr. Matt.
Madison Avenue and Mr. Schwartz's Puck. Pick is the President of the United States. My pick, by the way, is Senator Ted Cruz for obvious reasons, and I will elaborate more as we get on with this in the next day or so. Guys, great discussions as always. I look forward to next week.
Thank you, Jay. Bye-bye.